A 15-year-old Fairfield resident is apparently facing multiple charges after police say he caused a multi-vehicle crash on I-95 earlier this week while fleeing from police at speeds up to 130 miles an hour. That's according to New York State Police. Well, as you can imagine, our Connecticut State Police caught wind of this. They've been talking about it as well, and it certainly highlights a huge problem we've got on our roadways. Well, many huge problems we have. Sergeant Luke Davis back a second time this week. We are very busy, Sergeant Davis, as are you. I appreciate you stopping by again. What'd you think about this story?
Oh, absolutely, Melissa, not a problem. So it's one of those things that anybody sees, and it seems almost too insane to believe it's actually happening. But the fact of the matter is, it's reality. And it's a reality that we've been facing here, too, in Connecticut. And I'm sure you're very well aware of the fact that my office has been posting arrests related to content of people driving close to or as fast as that individual was.
You know what else I also noticed about this, Sergeant Davis, was it said in the release from New York State Police that the other occupants in this car were teenagers from Bridgeport between the ages of 15 and 17, as well as a 16-year-old from Milford. So more than half the people involved in this were underage, first of all. They you know, were not able to even have a driver's license. And if they were, they're brand new drivers. And the other part of this, again, is they're clocked going 130 miles an hour. I mean, what does that say? One of the things you and I talk about so much, and I talk to DOT about it too, is that there's a lack of not really education and not awareness. Because we've been really working on this, I feel like, in the past few years. But certainly when you hear new drivers and those who may not even be licensed to drive are just blatantly ignoring the law, not caring, going well above the speed limit. I mean, what does that tell you?
It tells me that there's a serious disconnect of reality. And that's very commonplace that you see that with young individuals where it's such a new thing and it's exciting to have that ability, that freedom, if you will. Whether they are in fact licensed or in the process of getting their license to be out doing their own thing. And I think you and I were both there at one point in time, without doubt, that when you're at that age, you think you're invincible. But the fact of the matter is nobody's invincible. And that kind of speed makes it very difficult to A, keep control of a vehicle, B, stop that car safely, and C, keep people safe. There's no way that you can keep anybody safe driving at that speed. And it is putting lives at risk. And the reality that comes at the end of the day with that is that people are going to get seriously injured or killed.
I hope this doesn't get me arrested after I say this. We have Sergeant Davis here. You're correct. When you are 16, 17, 18 years old and you're feeling invincible, you don't really check the speed. So I absolutely was that teenager. I remember clear as day, Sergeant Davis, don't you dare come after me with handcuffs after this. But I remember clear as day when I was in high school, junior, senior year, I was dating a boy who lived in Norwalk. I was living in Fairfield. And man, when it got close to curfew, and you don't want to mess with Mama Sheck, let me just tell you, my mother was the real deal. She absolutely had no issue with, like, bringing the hammer if you were late for curfew. Did I speed on the Merritt Parkway coming home? I certainly was not going 55. Let me just tell you that. However, did I ever get to triple digits? No. I mean, I think that's the big disconnect here as well, is I can understand feeling invincible and feeling like, hey, you're speeding. Everybody kind of struggles with that to some degree. But these clocked cars at 110, 120, 130, I mean, that's absurd to me. I mean, that is absurd. I'm talking like, did I get clocked maybe going 81? You know, and again, I know that's illegal, and I'm admitting that. I think if people were more honest, they could admit that. 130 miles an hour? That's absurd. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. It certainly is. And if it makes you feel any better, I'm going to tell you right now, you're well beyond the statute of limitations for any of those things as a teenager. But
thanks. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Listen, I try to be transparent with my listeners. I never want to act like I'm like dictating to people what should or shouldn't happen and acting like I was perfect, because I was far from it. But I'm just saying, I mean, I can't even imagine, obviously, now in my 30s, now having my license 20 years, let alone when I was 16. I just couldn't even imagine reaching the 90 mark, let alone 130. I just think that's beyond comprehension. I really don't get that.
Yeah, it certainly is. As I've shared with your neighbors down the hall, I mean, when you get to that certain point of triple digits, it's more like ludicrous speed. So if what you're traveling at is starting to see the world go to plat around you, it means that you're going way too fast.
But then what does that say, Sergeant Davis? Like, why did we get to this point? So I guess my comparison is 20 years ago when teenage Melissa was driving, I wouldn't even think to go that fast. And I mean, we talk about, obviously, driver behavior has really plummeted in the last few years since COVID. And it's not to say that we're not putting more detection out there. DOT has been rolling out detection more and more in the last few years. It's not to say state police haven't focused on this and trying to combat this type of speeding behavior and that we don't have bodies out there detecting this. So what do you do? What is the right answer? Is it a matter of just not caring and not thinking that there's enough of a penalty if you're caught speeding?
Well, I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I think we've done enough work in the past year and change that we've garnered that attention to recognize at the level of the legislature that there is a problem and things do need to be addressed. So I am very proud of the fact that this attention has garnered enough with the legislature to actually push through a bill to make harsher penalties for reckless driving, particularly for speeds of excess of 100 miles an hour. So I am very hopeful for the future of all Connecticut law enforcement that that does go through and that we see some change here and that those stricter penalties for reckless driving are going to start changing that behavior.
Is that the I don't know if you have it in front of you, but is that the Senate Bill 1377? Was that part of the transportation bill? I think
it's actually a substitute House bill.
Oh, it really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Where is that now? Do you know if that's in the? See, now we're talking politics, Sergeant Davis. You didn't know we were going to go there. Has that already passed the House and or the Senate?
My understanding is it has passed both and is sitting with the governor at this point in time.
Really? So what is that? What is that legislation? I mean, and I would hope that I'll ask the governor today when he comes on. Is that talking about specifically stricter penalties for people who are caught speeding?
Specifically stricter penalties for those doing over 100 miles an hour, yes.
How strict are we talking? Like, how much are they paying?
Fines up to $600 for start is my understanding, as well as month jail time and vehicle seizure for a 48-hour period.
Wow. I would think points on your license, too, right? I mean, it's got to have some repercussions with the license. I don't know.
Very, very likely. I mean, I'm speaking to my understanding of what it is. But again, we're very hopeful that that does go through and that it starts to affect some positive change for the safety of all Connecticut residents and anybody traveling on our roadways for that fact.
Yeah. So we have Sergeant Davis, who is here and with the Connecticut State Police. And you know, this most recent story of high speed on our highways, it was an alleged 15-year-old driver out of Fairfield, clocked going 130 miles an hour by New York State Police. What I thought was interesting in this article as well, I had never heard of this before. Maybe, well, obviously you probably have, but State Police, it said, received a be on the lookout alert. For an erratic driver. I didn't even know that was a type of alert you can put out there. Or is that just like in general for anything? If there's like a silver alert, an amber alert, is that something that is put out there, a be on the lookout alert?
Yeah, we do get BOLOs quite frequently for instances of erratic operation. And that comes from multiple different sources. So that could be a 911 call from somebody traveling on the highway or any roadway.
Okay.
It can come from a neighboring agency. It can come from another state police barracks or even a neighboring state. If they have 911 calls of triple-digit speeds, for example, and they aren't in the area to address it, or let's say it's crossing state lines, crossing jurisdictional lines, and it's out of their reach, they're going to reach out to the next neighboring agency that might be able to get with that vehicle and attempt to address it.
How does that work, Sergeant Davis? So, like, that came from New Rochelle. And they're like, hey, be on the lookout. So let's say, you know, Connecticut State Police in the barracks in Fairfield County, let's say they came across it. Are they able to pursue that vehicle? Like, what are the laws of pursuing a vehicle that's speeding that quickly? Because you also don't want to put, obviously, the other drivers in danger.
Sure. So that's going to come down to risk outweighing the means. So, yeah, we have that information. It's fresh information coming from a neighboring state. If we have the same violations of that vehicle traveling at said speed, we're most certainly going to attempt to stop them. But if they're continuing at that speed and they're weaving in and out of traffic, putting other lives at risk, chances are us staying with that vehicle are going to be few and far between, unless we can articulate that they've committed or about to commit a violent felony.
Okay. All right. I mean, do you agree with that? Or do you feel like we could do more on that? Because and the reason I ask is not to be controversial, but you guys are boots on the ground from the municipal police standpoint, is that we also need to start to reverse some of the, I'm going to call it, damage that was done by the police accountability law a few years back. And I know pursuit is part of that. Do you feel like what we're doing right now when it comes to weighing, like you said, weighing the good and the bad of it, do you feel like we need to have more lenience with pursuits?
I don't think it would hurt to at least evaluate it, particularly for the position that many people in this profession end up in when they're faced with a situation like that, because you want to get the bad guy. We're all driven for that. That's how we're wired. That's why we do this job. But sometimes our hands are tied in that regard. At the end of the day, it really comes down to weighing it in terms of, is what I'm doing in the pursuit of justice, no pun intended, is that going to cause serious injury or death to an innocent person? And we really have to be careful about how we balance that. So sometimes when we have these situations, if we have enough information to identify this individual and track them down later, then that's going to be the better option.
Okay. Well, Sergeant Davis, I want to thank you so much for talking about this most recent example of how speeding has gotten out of hand, and certainly how youth drivers, are not always to blame in these situations. We've certainly seen, drivers who have been on the roadways for decades who are also clocked going way too fast, going through speed zones, for example, or work zones, I should say. So I appreciate that. I also, though, do want to highlight the fact that you and I were just talking a few days ago about we're entering the 100 deadliest days of the summer. You're going to have more younger drivers out on the roadways. Schools are out. So it's important that we have these conversations as frequently as possible and get the word out there. So I appreciate you always making the time for WICC.
Most certainly, Melissa. It's my pleasure.